Hello, hello, and welcome back to Being All of You. I'm joined by a guest for today's episode, Melinda Nakagawa. Welcome. So happy to be here with you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've been so looking forward to talking with you, and I just feel like we always have fantastic conversations, at least the last few times that we've spoken. And I remember when we first connected through like a virtual community meetup. I was just so blown away by your background and your experiences and kind of how you bring it all together in the work that you do. And we're going to get into it in a minute, and I'm sure you're going to expand on it a lot. But just to set a little bit of context, you bridge nature, science, art, and heart. And I love it so much. And it's just so unique and so special. And I know this conversation is just going to be fantastic today.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. So before we get into everything, can you share with us four words or characteristics that you would use to describe yourself?
I thought about that and it was hard to find four. I would say one is joyful, creative, connected, and curious, like an inquisitive curious.
I feel like that makes so much sense, and it actually goes back to the conversation that we were having before we hit record. Do you want to expand on any of those, or would you just like to let them sit and kind of flow through our conversation?
We can let it flow through our conversation.
Cool. Okay. So, can you start us off by sharing a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and how that allows you to be more of you?
Okay, well, my background is really eclectic. I've been creative all my life ever since I was a kid, and maybe even an entrepreneur as I was a kid too, selling my artwork, and a background in science. So I studied marine biology and got a master's degree in marine science, and it just fed my curious nature of wondering about what's around me and asking questions and just looking more deeply. And over time, I realized that just looking at nature through the lens of science wasn't quite as satisfying. Like there was something missing, like something that I longed for. And I felt like when I am wearing my scientist hat, that I couldn't allow my heartfelt connections or emotions or feelings to blend with, that more serious, objective, side, that we've been raised, in science, asking us to turn our hearts off, basically, like to not bring emotion into it. But what I just didn't feel right. And so what happened is, fast forwarding, as working in science and then doing art and doing education, a few years ago when I started teaching nature journaling, and it is a practice that I've done myself for over 25 years, but as I started to teach it, I realized it was really hard to keep separate this like more objective scientific part of me with like the more heartfelt, deeply connected, softer part of, of who I am. And when I let those two parts of me blend together, felt kind of like watercolor. I don't know if you've ever done watercolor where you have two different colors, and when they touch, the watery pools of those two colors touch, they bleed and blend, and they create either this beautiful like swirly or a third color. And that's what it felt like once I just like let down that wall that separated science and heart. I realized that I could be all of just who I truly was instead of trying to compartmentalize those different aspects. And when I allowed myself to just be there, something different opened up. And that's the joyful part, it's just like this I could relax and just be, and not worry about like how I'm coming across. And I found that that was really the magic, for me to just allow myself to be, bring all those pieces because they were part of me. And allowing it to mix into another beautiful color has allowed me to create a business around blending science, nature, art, and heart, and creating this place where all of that can come together. And using one of the tools that I use is a nature journal, and that is this beautiful place to bring all of that together, to bring your analytical mind and your heartfelt emotions and your spiritual side, and just the enjoying the beauty of nature and bringing your creativity, all of that together. So that's the work that I do, is like bringing all of that and helping people reconnect to not just nature, but their inner nature, that part of themselves that many of us lose along our life's path because we're so focused on what we feel we're expected to do, in our life.
Wow. I feel like there's so many things that I could respond to and that brought up for me. I think the biggest one was, well, first of all, watercolor is like one of my favorite artistic mediums. I actually took classes in it for years, and I know exactly what you're talking about with the blending, where it kind of like the colors meld, but also like the water, and it just creates this whole really cool effect. And I loved how you use that as a metaphor for what we're talking about today, because I think definitely for myself, and I think, the people listening as well, I think so many of us feel this almost, like you were saying, compartmentalizing of self and feeling like, well, if I'm this way, I can't be that way, or it's expected of me to show up more of this, but then you're also denying this part of you. And I loved how you described sort of the You said you could feel relaxed, and the freedom that comes when you kind of say, like, knock down the barriers and realize that it's all just you. It doesn't have to be kept in this place or kept in this place, or you can only show up here. Like, it really can just be, I think, especially when we're multi-passionate too, like, it really, like, we are at our best, I feel like, when we're showing up and embracing every part of us. So I loved how you described that. And you had started to get into it a little bit, I think, with nature versus inner nature, but can you share a little bit more about, to you, what is nature and how do we find it?
I think that's what I start off with a lot of my workshops is asking people what they think nature is. And what I hear a lot is it's going to, like Yosemite or a state park or the beach or a beautiful mountain or forest. But that is nature, and nature is all around us. It doesn't have to be that extraordinary nature. It could be your backyard, your neighborhood, even like a vacant lot or a parking lot. Or nature is all around us, and it could be in your fruit bowl, the apples on a tree, that's part of nature. It could be in your salad bowl as well. All the vegetables and the greens that we eat, those are all from nature. Animals are nature, so your pets can be considered nature. And if we go along that route, we're nature too. We're connected to, here's one example. We depend on oxygen to live. That's one of the basic things that we need. And oxygen is created by plants and trees. And so if you think about our life's breath, it's shared with the plants and the trees. So every breath we take is shared with the plants and trees. So if we think about that, well, we are nature, we're dependent or interdependent, right? We exhale carbon dioxide, and that gets used by the plants and trees around us. We depend on plants as well for food, and some of us eat animals. And so if we think about that from an ecological perspective, then we are part of that web of connection. Energetically, we're also, connected to nature. So nature is not just outside of you, it is also it's also you. All the atoms that make up our bodies, a frog's bodies or a tree's bodies, are all the same atoms, that are swirling around on this planet, and nothing is ever, created or destroyed. In physics, it's always just transformed. So when a tree, an apple from a tree falls and it hits the ground and decomposes, that apple becomes part of the nourishment of the soil, of the tree. Just like, when an animal dies and decays in the forest, or if it gets eaten by something, it gets transformed. So that's a long answer to your question about what is nature. It is just, I invite you to, or the listeners, to think, broadly about nature. It's not just something that's outside. It is also within. It is also part of us. So when we think about taking care of nature, we're really taking care of ourselves and our well-being as well.
No, I love all of that answer and those specific examples you gave, because I feel like I think especially like the breath, connection that we have. I think it's just so beautiful because I think so many of us are drawn to nature for various reasons, maybe by how it makes us feel or like the effects that it has on us. And I like specifically that you said it doesn't have to be extraordinary nature. We're drawn to it, and I think there's a reason that we are, and like it doesn't have to be as far away as we think it is, which I think is really comforting. And I really liked the connection you made as well to not just seeing it outside of ourselves, but also kind of recognizing how it filters through in like our food and like the birth and death cycle, and all of that. Like it really is available and accessible to us, I think, more than we think it is. And I know we're going to get into it a little bit deeper, but I wanted to kind of take like a, I would say like a little bit different, but I think it's also connected to what we were saying. So something that you, I remember you saying to me was, we often don't take the time to unbusy ourselves. And this does relate to nature, right? So can you kind of connect those for us where, you mentioned the nature journaling and how you support your clients. How does that support allow your clients to kind of unbusy themselves? And I think I would say also like connect more to their maybe inner and outer nature.
So I find that we are living in a world that what's the word? Like, praises or supports accomplishing things, producing, production, being occupied and busy. And I have started to like really focus on not using that word busy in my own language to describe myself. When someone will say, "Hey, how are you doing?" I have shifted to not say I'm busy, but I might say my schedule's full, because busy implies that I'm doing something that maybe doesn't have meaning, but I'm just occupied with a bunch of things. And we're living in a culture where, like, to say you're overly busy or so busy that I couldn't, it was like, it's like a it's acceptable, or a badge of honor, like, "Oh my God, I was so busy, the blah, blah, blah." So I see that that's taking us away from just being present, in this moment. And there's so many ways that we can come back to ourselves, to being mindful, to be here now. And I find that nature journaling is this beautiful practice that I use for myself and like to teach others, to help us unbusy, to get out of that constant doing, feeling overworked and overwhelmed. And for many people, for me too, early on, it was hard for me when people said, like, "You just need to meditate." I would just, I can't sit still. That's what I believed. I'm like, I can't do this. And I started to say, well, my meditation is walking in nature. And that's true. I didn't think it was acceptable, because in the past, meditation was thought of as like you're sitting with your eyes closed and your body is really still, right, for long periods of time. And that was one of my earliest times where I recognized that I was receiving something from being in nature, not doing, but being. And I'm sure you've heard the little saying, you know, be a human, not a human doing, but a human being. And we don't practice that. So coming back to nature journaling, I find it's a great entry point into slowing down to be in a meditative state of nature or a mindful state of nature, because to go from like 60 miles an hour doing, and then suddenly be in nature and I'm going to sit, there's the transition, you know, that can be really hard for a lot of people. And most people will just stop because they just don't know how to move forward. So having a nature journal, having a pencil or a pen, having a maybe like an errand, you know, like go out and look for a flower and sit down with it and just, you know, notice the flower and draw, you know, how many petals it has or what color it is. That errand or that task, you could call it, I like errand better. Going out and looking for something in nature gives us this thing to do. It satisfies the doing part that we're practicing or that we're used to. And then once you get to the thing you're supposed to do, you know, look at the flower, you know, sketch what you see. What are you noticing? You know, what makes you curious? What do you wonder about that flower? In those minutes that you're slowing down to nature's pace, you have something to do, in air quotes, right? You're doing something, but in that doing, you're also slowing down to be. And the deeper work that I do with nature journaling, is to be present in that moment and to, you know, get to that point where you can start to notice your inner nature, to notice the wisdom that nature has to show you, to teach you. So I think there's like different levels or layers of moving into nature journaling. Like you could just draw things and write about them. That's one way to, you know, approach nature and develop your own knowledge and connection and understanding about nature. But what I really like to do, which is much more like juicy, is to allow ourselves to slow down and then reflect on how does that make me feel? When I'm sitting with this flower, we'll just go with that flower example. How am I feeling in my body right now? Like, what images come up when I'm looking at this flower? Does it remind me of another situation or another time in my life? You know, and allowing that to just explore, you know, that space and allowing for that sensory experience, the smell, the sensations, the textures, the touch, and all of that can be recorded on paper in a journal. And that's what I really love, you know, helping people, like, how do you bring that intangible into a tangible form? And I think it's just a progression of, you know, slowly deepening our understanding and connection so that we can tap into that inner nature that's all within us, that's, you know, perhaps sleeping, you know, because life is so busy and noisy that we don't aren't able to listen to that inner nature.
I had an interesting thought that came to me as you were sharing that, because we had mentioned earlier in the conversation that you know, when people think of nature, they often think of most the most like extraordinary or almost maybe extreme versions, like a huge waterfall or like going to Yosemite and seeing the you know the mountains or whatever. And I think that kind of speaks to what you were talking about, where it's almost like I think a lot of us are so busy and so like in the cycle of doing that we almost need that like big impactful thing to kind of like bring us out of it. But I think what you're describing with the flower example specifically is like it can be so much simpler, and I like that it kind of occupies the doing. It almost reminds me of like when you meditate but you're like focusing on a candle or something, you know, and giving your mind a focus, and almost like decelerating, I think, into that like gentleness. But you know, so it doesn't, I think we don't have to have something extreme, I think, to shock us out of doing. You know, I think it really can be like the smaller moments or the simpler things. And like, I mean, I know for myself, like I think we might have talked about this. I love photography. It's been like a hobby of mine for a very long time, and I am like captivated when I go out by like a simple flower or a leaf or something. I think there's so much to explore there, and I like how you took it a step further, kind of using that as a mirror where you're like, what is this making me feel? What is this bringing up for me? Like, what wisdom is there here for me? And I think like I'm definitely going to keep that in mind when I go out for a walk next time, because I think there's something, it's almost like there's something there, like almost a remembering, I think, of our true inner nature, if you will, that we tend to forget. But you know, if we allow ourselves to slow down, I think enough, and still satisfy the doing, as you said, you know, I think there's so much to be uncovered, but also just like it was already there, you know, like it just needs to be uncovered and remembered.
And I really believe that when you pick up this practice of nature journaling, not just the act of nature journaling, like just drawing, I'm going to draw something, color it, and write about it, but the practice, meaning you are bringing this into your life in a way that is like it comes back cyclically, whether it's daily or weekly, but that it's a practice, meaning that you're doing it re repeatedly over some period of time. You're developing this sense of awareness and intentional attention. You're paying attention to something with intention, and just opening your sense of wonder, and this changes the way that you see life. I've had many people come through my workshops and say, "Oh my gosh, I see things in my world now that I didn't know was there because of nature journaling, because of the way that I've helped people see nature in this gentle, non-threatening way. You don't have to have a science degree or a bot. You don't have to be a botanist or a biologist. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be a poet. You don't have to be anything. You can just bring yourself, pick up paper and something to write with, and allow nature to move through you. And that can be difficult if you have some blocks around, I can't draw, I can't write, I can't whatever. But in my workshops and courses, I help people navigate that. We address those things that we have in our inner critic, right? That those unhelpful thoughts and voices that pop up when we're trying to do something new or trying to do something that we could thought we couldn't do before. And once we get past that and quiet that inner critic, then we can truly just like revel in like the joy and the wonder of the world that's around you. And not only do you have access to nature, but what I found is then it helps you be more curious about other people, the people in your life. You're viewing them with a different lens because you're training yourself to slow down, to see things that some details that you didn't see before. So I think it also is like a life experience. It can be transferred to your relationships. It could be transferred to your partnerships, to yourself, how you view yourself, or how you view the people that are around you, as well as how do you take care of nature? How do you appreciate and give gratitude, to the things that are around you? So I think it's a really great entry point into having a more meaningful, fulfilling, present, joyful life.
I feel like whenever we have conversations, we're always like on the same wavelength with certain things. And I love that last part of what you shared, because that was also what was coming to me. I feel like from how you're describing it and sort of the transformative way that it allows us to see more in the world and see more, not just out in the world, but in ourselves and in others. It is in a way very much like a gratitude practice, like an abundance practice, I feel like, if we want to use those words for it, you know, just because, you know, to go back to our earlier point about busyness or unbusying ourselves, in that we often miss so much, or you had mentioned like these patterns or ways of being, or like, we get in our heads so much that I think those things often also cause us to miss what is right in front of our faces as well. And so, yeah, it just reminds me too. I think we were talking about this before we were recording, and I think I remember you using or describing your work this way, where I think you had talked about maybe it was like bringing people out for what's it called, like a whale tour. Was that what it
Oh
was? You
yeah,
know,
whale watching. That
and
was a
whale
naturalist.
watching. Yes, thank you.
Huh?
Yes, and you said one of your favorite things was bringing people back to that almost, it's our inner child, but I think also like our most natural state of being in awe and being joyful and just wonderment. Like, I think you would, or you could
Yeah.
share if you'd like to,
Yeah,
like
yeah.
just
It's yeah,
having
it
people have
was
that experience.
yeah, when I was a whale watching naturalist, one of the things that I really actually the thing that I really loved was to see that spark of joy and wonder, like you're talking about. It's like this childlike, and I'm talking childlike in not in a negative term. Like we often say you're childish or childlike in a negative way, but this is like coming to your true, authentic, like core of who we like we are all meant to be joyful in this world, and we forget that because of many reasons. But when I would see when someone would see a whale for the first time, you know, leaping in front of them, they're just this look on their face was this spark of joy. I could see their excitement and share in that experience. And that's one of the reasons why my business is named Spark in Nature, because that was that spark that I saw in others was something that drew me to this work. I felt like this is what I'm meant to do, is to help people find their spark in nature, to find themselves, to find their true joy, to find their like that inner connection with the world, to remember that they are nature. So, I hadn't really thought about that until you brought it up, but yeah, it is so, appropriate, you know, for the name of my business, Spark in Nature. And, that's what I, you know, hope to spread in the world, is to help you find that spark of joy and wonder, and not just for that moment, but to help you develop something as a practice, whether it's nature journaling or just going out in nature and doing photography, or you know, other kinds of things, you know, that you would do with nature, you know, whether it's cooking or, you know, some kind of, I don't know, going hiking. You know, there's so many different ways that you can reconnect with our true nature. Like we were evolved, you know, to be part of the outdoor world. And we are so insulated from it in so many ways. You know, we don't want to touch the dirt to get dirty or get germs or, you know, get wet. Gosh, I don't want to get wet, you know, being outside, or, you know, get dirt or bring bugs in. And I think that, and I work with children too, and I see that a lot. And it makes me sad that even children are being, living in this world, we're like, oh, I can't touch that because I'll get dirty. But I remember being a kid and just like wanting to play in the dirt. But there's a different, you know, generation. Like parents now are have maybe have not played in nature freely the way that you know I have and generations have. And so they bring, you know, they're raising the next generation of children in the way that they were raised. They don't know how. I've had parents say, like, I don't know what to do in nature with my child. Can you help me? This is kind of a concern to me that, you know, more and more people are going to be growing up and becoming adults, and they never played in nature, or they never had this natural connection, climbed a tree, you know, jumped in a pile of leaves, swam in a river, you know, climbed up a mountain, rolled down a grassy hill slope, dug in the dirt looking for earthworms, you know, any of these things, I think that are just, it's just part of who we are. And if we slow down to unbusy ourselves, nature is there to feed us in that way. We just need to allow that message to come in.
That reminds me of something you had shared, I think on one of our like community calls we were both on, where you had mentioned, I don't remember specifically what you had been feeling before, but you were like, I was just feeling called to just go out, stick my hands in the earth. Do you remember this? And you were
Yes,
like, I did. Like you were like, I'd been feeling like this for days. Like there was like this craving, and you said, I went out there and it was like, oh, you know.
It was. I think that if we're paying attention to how we feel, and that needs to be learned, I think, because we're you know, many of us are raised with like, well, I was, you know, don't be sad, don't be angry, just be happy, you know, that's the, like the only, you know, feeling that you can express, that's the only one that's allowed, and you know, stuffing all those other feelings, which is not, you know, helpful, and just gets all clogged in there. But that conversation you're talking about, I think it was like I just was feeling like overwhelmed by all of these things going on, my family and my mom and work, and it just wasn't. I got so packed in my schedule that I pushed out my nature time. I know that I need nature time in order for me to maintain my groundedness so that I can be present in my work. And I think that week, I think I was pushing out nature because I had too many things that I needed to do, or I felt like I needed to do. And I noticed that it was like this anxiety that was billowing up, and I happened to go outside for something, and then I don't know what is it, the flower called me, maybe the weeds, they're like, we have lots of weeds around us, please, you know, weed me, was like kind of the idea. I know what it was, just the tulips, I think. And I went out and started like pulling the weeds around the tulips. I thought, oh my gosh, my poor tulips are coming up and they're crowded by weeds. And so I was pulling the weeds up, and the next thing I know, I'm not wearing like gardening clothes, I'm just out there, you know. Next thing I know, I'm on hands and knees. I've got dirt all over my fingers. Like I've like almost ravenously sticking my hands in the dirt, pulling out the weeds. They were coming out very nicely because it had been raining, and feeling the sense of satisfaction and this soothingness, the smell of the earth, the feel of the soil in my fingers. I had dirt in my fingernails, but like this conversation going on in my head is like, you're getting dirty. You have dirt in your fingernails. What are you doing? You need to go back and work. But there was this other part of me that I was allowing to be present, to just like, let's just be here. I'm nurturing the tulips. So we're going to weed them so that I'm creating space for them, you know? And so there were multiple things that were being addressed. Like the tulips were calling me to take care of them, but it was also in service for me to be connected, you know, to the soil. There's beneficial soil microbes that actually help us with, you know, our immune system, our moods, and many of us don't touch the dirt, you know? So we're not getting an infusion of that. So, you know, I think that perhaps that's what it is, but I can tell you that after I did my little bout of weeding, went in, you can always wash dirt off your hands, you know, got cleaned up. I came back to the computer and I felt refreshed. Like I felt like I can start again. I felt more clear. So you don't have to get your hands in the dirt, but if you can take a break in nature, even 5 minutes of a wander around the neighborhood, or if you have property, or even gazing out the window if you can't walk, or maybe looking at a flower, or petting a pet that you have, or even pulling up a video, you know, of just scenery, like nature scenery, like the visual of greens and blues of nature can help calm our nervous system. So there's so many different ways that we can bring nature into our world so that we can be, you know, more of who we are.
I feel like I'm so glad that you went further with that example of like putting your hands in the dirt, because it reminded me, and I know we've been talking a lot about like joy and awe and wonderment, and I think all, you know, like as our true nature, and I think that's so true. But I think in your example, what really came through for me was through the simple act of connecting with nature. It's a connection of to yourself, but also like your whole self, not just like the good emotions, but like all of the quote, maybe bad. They're not really bad, but you know what I mean? Like the emotions that we've maybe been conditioned to think of as bad through connecting with nature, you're just allowing all of it to come up and to be processed, which I think is really beautiful. And then kind of what you were describing about like how you felt on the other side. And I'm imagining like, you know, just a like a soothing of the nervous system because those things were allowed to come out. That's so cool. I'm wondering if there's someone listening right now, and I'm wanting to ask you about like the nature journaling specifically. They want to start bringing that practice into their lives aside from working with you. Maybe that would be a great next step. But what is something that they can start doing? And I wonder if maybe also you can kind of touch on sort of those barriers, you know, that we were talking about that people have in the way of like just getting started with that.
I would say if you want to step into nature journaling, pick up, it could be a piece of paper on a clipboard, but I would say getting a sketchbook or a notebook, something that is maybe like not too fancy. If this is your first time, don't get something that's like fancy watercolor paper. Just get, a drawing sketch pad or, something with mixed media paper, which would be good for pens and watercolor and pencil, as well as just lots of mediums, right? And that's not too expensive. Just go to the craft store and pick something up. I've even had someone who really liked aligned notebook, because that took the pressure off of making a pretty picture. So I talk often about, this is not about making pretty pictures or artwork. You can do illustration, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using this process to allow us to slow down, to be present, right? To open that awareness and give attention and be in wonder and curiosity and allow us to feel. So nature journaling is in service of that. So if you can remember that, which is hard to remember, so I'm going to keep saying it. If you come to any of my workshop, I'll just keep reminding you. It's not about making a pretty picture, because we have been conditioned to, when we pick up a pen or a colored pencil with the intention to draw something, it immediately, for many of us, goes to, I've got to make it look like the real thing. I've got to make it look good, right? But this is not about making it look good. This is about being present. So we use drawing to help us pay attention, right? It's kind of like you were saying earlier, it's about almost meditative, because we're slowing down to be present. The drawing gives you something to do and focus on different parts of the flower. We use the flower example. And I like to do contour drawings, which are just a way of just drawing the outside, the outline of what you see, instead of every single crease and fold and detail. And just start with that. And that is very soothing and meditative. When I'm having a stressful day, sometimes I'll just do a bunch of contour drawings in my journal, and that's very soothing. So, but yeah, just a sketchbook, something to write with, a pencil, a pen, and your sense of curiosity and openness to allowing nature to teach you something. I don't feel like you need to have fancy materials. So anyone could do this. If you want to add color, colored pencils are a great, easy way to add some color to your journal. And don't feel like you've got to get a perfect color match. You can always use words to say, okay, this pink is a little too bright. It was actually more of a, pale pink. Like, you can write, these words, because this is not about artwork that you're going to put on the wall. This is about your connecting and being present and noticing what you're looking at, to develop this ability to expand your awareness in the world. So that would be the first step, like sketchbook, something to write with. If you want colors, color pencils are great. Watercolors, you can get just, if you want to do watercolors, you can get one of those, the trays. You can get like a Crayola tray of like 8 or 12, whatever that is, and just a simple brush. You can develop your skills in watercolor and coloring later, but this really is about just that being present and noticing, and then using the journal to capture what you're seeing, so that you can pay attention. And also, it helps for memory recall. So later on, when you're looking through your journals, you're like, yes, it brings you back to that moment. So the drawing of the flower doesn't have to look exactly like the flower, because it will bring you back to that memory of the flower. And if you really want to capture a photographic representation, I would say pull out your phone and take a picture. And you can print that if you wanted to, but really, for the process of nature journaling, it doesn't have to be perfect. And your other part of the question was, what are the things that might get in the way of doing this? Well, financially, it shouldn't be that expensive because you're just going to use, I'm sure you have a notebook lying around, right? Many of us tried art and we put it away because we didn't think we could draw. So find one of those and bring it out. And then start on page two or three. You know, don't open it to the first page. I find that that can be
Ooh.
stressful. I use the first couple pages in my journals as a table of contents so I can write down like, you know, highlights of what I saw in the page numbers. So start on a, you know, a second page or third page. And what else? Yeah, just keep the focus on, you know, the experience, the process, you know, of being present, of seeing, of feeling, of being, rather than the product of what happens to go on the page, right? So process, not product. And
Yeah.
this just comes with practice, you know, coming back to this like meditation or tennis, right? It just takes practice, and it might be hard for different reasons for different people at first, but you know, it gets easier over time.
I love that. I mean, I love all of it, but specifically process over product. And I think, in a way, also presence over pressure. I think you
Yeah.
just gave so many like fantastic tips, especially I love like not using the first few pages of the notebook. That
Yeah.
like kind of blew my mind a little bit because you're right. It really does feel like so much pressure when you're like, this is the first page. Everything from now on has to be, you know, whatever we think
Yeah.
our expectations of it.
And the next thing I'll say is like when you get to that page, right away put the date, time, and location. I put that on all my journals because it helps with the fear of putting a drawing, right? If I start putting words on there, you know, writing down, I'm looking at a tulip in my garden, you know, you just write that on there to help break up the fear of putting something on a blank page. So that's often helpful, is just putting that on there. And then when you mix words with sketches together, it feels less like art, like, you know, like a painting. So that might also help with making it a little bit easier, you know, to come into. And you don't have to draw anything at first, you know, if you don't want to or don't feel like you can, just notice, sit with the flower, like, what are you seeing? And write down how you would describe it, you know, the colors, how many petals, what is it shaped like? What does it remind you of? Does it remind you of something else in nature or in your life? You know, because sometimes it's easier to describe with an analogy, like, you know, oh, this plant looks like a pineapple, or, you know, like maybe you're trying to describe a pine cone and like, hey, it looks like a pineapple, or you're trying to describe, I don't know, you know, the color of something. Well, this is Granny Smith apple green, right? And we all are familiar with Granny Smith apples, and we've probably seen that color, and maybe you're trying to describe the color green and you're having a hard time using words, you know, using an analogy or simile is helpful. So there's a lot of different ways to break through that barrier of this needs to be art, you know, how can I do this? So those are just a few tips to, you know, to get you started.
Yeah, I appreciate those so much because I think even in how you were describing it, it's just like it really makes it feel easy and accessible and like so much less pressure than I think maybe some of us already like amp it up to be. I loved this whole conversation so much, and I feel like there's so much more that we probably could talk about, but I guess in the interest of today, if people want to continue the conversation with you and connect further, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can visit my website at sparkinnature.com, and you can look through, you know, some of the things that I offer. If you look at the events tab, it'll take you to my calendar and with upcoming events that are mostly online. So anyone, you know, people around the world, have international folks coming, so you can join in on online work sessions. I have ones that are just come and bring your nature journal and we're just going to journal together without instruction, you know, and I'm just there to you know, answer questions or encourage you. And then I also have ones where it's more like journaling together where there is instruction and where you're kind of journaling along with me. So there's a very various variety, and I do I have a couple of week-long retreats in the summer that are coming. You can come in person. So come join me there in Greece or in the Sierra Nevada mountains.
Oh my gosh.
And I also, if you're in central coastal California near Monterey, I also offer in-person nature journaling. So sometimes they're free because they're subsidized by local partners, or they're, there's a fee involved. But those are periodic, depending on what my schedule's like. But you can plan on, coming to those, and you can also join me. I think we'll have my social links and have an online community. It's a learning collaborative, you can call it Spark Collective. So this is different from like a Facebook group. This is a place where we can get together live, and all of the workshops that I offer are free for members. So you can come on over, and there's a 2-week free trial. You can come and meet me, journal with me live. Most of the things that we do are like live online in Zoom, and it's so like nourishing to be with other people doing nature journaling and sharing. What my favorite part is, like, hearing from other people what they're seeing in their nearby nature, like what did they experience this week, and to be able to hear them tell the story of what it is, because that stimulates ideas for other people. Like maybe someone was looking at the way that oh, I don't know, something is going on beneath the tree. They're looking at the roots, and so maybe that gets us going and looking for roots and trees more. So it's a really great way to, like, a co-learning and co-working space. So we'd love to invite you to come play in there as well.
So fantastic. Thank you for sharing all of that. And like you said, those will definitely be in the show notes for you to check out. And do you have any final thoughts or anything that you would like to share before we wrap up?
I would say that this is a, think of this nature journaling as a journey, and that you're going to just make progress each day that you come to nature, that you stop and listen, that you put your pen to the paper, and that it's not about perfection, about doing anything perfect. You're allowed to be messy and imperfect because nature is imperfect. If you go out to nature, nothing is perfectly the same, even from tree to tree or within a tree. So that's another lesson that nature's teaching us, is nature is imperfect. So we can be perfectly imperfect in as we show up. Maybe you journal today and you don't for a week or for a month. It's okay. It's just whatever you put in will help you grow faster. And the more that we come back to this, you're deepening that connection, you're deepening that personal relationship with nature, and more times that you go out and slow down, nature will show you more things about itself and about yourself. So I just encourage you to, keep practicing and going out. You don't have to do it alone. You can find a friend or encourage, a partner or a child to do this with you, just to tap into this playfulness and this joyful wonder and explore nature together. And I hope to see you around somewhere online.
Thank you for that. I think that's honestly, I think the reminder that we all need is to let it be a practice, and to let it be imperfect. And I remember when I was taking my watercolor classes, it's so funny how we want to get the tree or whatever it is that we're painting perfect. And I love how you sort of emphasize that, like, nature is imperfect, so we are also allowed to show up imperfectly, period, but also in our art or like in our interpretation of it. So thank you so much, Melinda. I loved this so
This was
much, and yeah, it was fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. This was so much fun for me too. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad, and I know that those listening will feel the same and get so much out of this conversation today. And to everyone who's joined us, thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you for the next episode.